52 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and top Mexican officials meet in Mexico City to discuss how to stop the record numbers of migrants coming to the U.S. through Mexico. CBS's Adrian Bard in Mexico City.
The expectation before the meeting was that Secretary Blinken could convince Mexico to do more policing on its side of the border. Just before the meeting occurred, there was a raid on a caravan of about 350 migrants in Veracruz State. On the other hand, a caravan of some 7,000 people was not deterred.
Parts of Washington State have experienced powerful windstorms. KIRO-TV's Kevin Cohen.
Anything that's like able to fly away either comes in or gets tacked down, zip-tied down.
We saw what happens when people don't do what Heidi does. Tables, plant pots, and more toppling over in Snoqualmie during Wednesday's wind advisory. Areas like North Bend and Redmond lost power as trees started falling down and the wind didn't stop picking up.
In Florida, Miami-Dade police say one person is dead and another is recovering after their helicopter crashed into a canal this afternoon. Department spokesperson Alvaro Zabaleta.
According to witnesses, there was a female that came out of the water, and that's when the divers went into the water to search. They were able to pull out a male. They were both transported to a local hospital. Unfortunately, the male succumbed to his injuries.
The New York Times is suing OpenAI and Microsoft, the owners of ChatGPT, for allegedly advancing their technology through the unlawful use of the New York Times work. Pamela Samuelson of the Berkeley Center for Law and Technology.
Many of the complaints are very similar. They're claiming copying for training data purposes is illegal and also that the outputs are illegal. I would say that of the complaints that I've read, the New York Times is the strongest complaint so far.
CBS News' Dr. Malika Marshall reports on new advances in metastatic breast cancer treatment that are helping patients live longer and healthier lives.
One such therapy is antibody-drug conjugates that act as smart bombs by directly targeting the tumor, sparing healthy cells, and reducing side effects. Unfortunately, over time, cancer cells learn to outsmart individual drugs, so it's important to have an arsenal of options.
Republican Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado switches congressional districts to a more conservative seat on the opposite side of the state, avoiding a likely rematch against a Democratic opponent who has far outraised her, and to improve her chances of staying in office. Boebert is switching from her district to the seat being vacated by retiring Congressman Ken Buck. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers suspend Ja Money. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers suspend defensive back Jaire Alexander for one game after he trotted out to the coin toss before the Packers kickoff against the Carolina Panthers, nearly disrupting the process. Defensive back Eric Stokes.
You can see when he went out there and all that stuff, I was sitting down on the sideline right there. When I looked up, he was out there. So it was too much more. It wasn't no more to say.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst announcing Alexander moved to the reserve suspended list. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's something that we made together, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we're at that juncture and felt like it was in the best interest long term.
LaFleur on the decision to suspend Alexander before Sunday night's game against the Vikings. What is Jair like in the locker room? I asked Eric Stokes.
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with, who you'll go to war with, because you know for a fact at the end of the day, like, he's giving his all. So, like, no matter what, like, I love a guy like that.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds on the increase in the overnight, upper 20s by sunrise. There may be a little bit of light snow developing late tonight towards sunrise, and snow showers and some sprinkles and flurries for Thursday. Highs in the upper 30s. Right now it's 28.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it made over this long weekend. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. It's a great weekend. But I'll tell you what, history doesn't stay still. History is created every second of every day, holidays, work days, when you're asleep or awake. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Just as we were going off the air on Friday, the news came down that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had issued a decision on the gerrymandered maps, ordering them redone initially by the state legislature, but then they have to be signed by Tony Evers, separation of powers, legislature, executive. And if Evers vetoes them and they can't resolve it between Evers and the legislature, the Supreme Court will appoint, in my judgment, they will likely appoint special masters, come up with the maps themselves. Now, it was announced over the weekend, Voss and the Republicans intend to, quote, they say, appeal it, end quote, to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I want to unpack that. This is a very, very important, very, very important issue. We've been talking about the rig maps. We've been talking about gerrymandering and redistricting a lot in the last few years. And it's really come down to it. Here's the deal. They don't get to, quote, appeal, end quote, it to the U.S. Supreme Court. They get to file what's called a petition for certiorari, C-E-R-T-I-O-R-A-R-I. It's an old Latin word, to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decides whether or not it'll accept it. There are 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. There's 7 on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of the 9 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court, it takes 5 of them to decide a case, but it only takes 4 of them to decide to take a case. So when the Republicans file this writ of certiorari, they're hoping that 4 of the 9 will agree to hear it, and that requires all of them to hear it. Now, there are 6 tarantulas. 3 of them are in the hip pocket of the Republican Party, Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. And they're hoping they can pick up Amy Comey Barrett, pick up Kavanaugh, or pick up Roberts. Now, in my judgment, it is less likely that they'll do that, more likely than not that they will not take the case. And why do I say that? Because the lawyers and the justices who were involved in this, the lawyers who brought the case, the justices who took the case, were very smart in how they did it. They confined the issues to state constitution issues. The rule of thumb is that the U.S. Supreme Court is not supposed to take any case that only involves state law. And the reason for that is the states know best. The states decide what the law is, and if the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't like it, too bad, so sad, unless it also violates a federal law. So anytime you want to avoid Supreme Court review, you try to construct your cases only involving state law. So how did they do it? How did they do it in this case? Well, first of all, in the Wisconsin Constitution, but not the U.S. Constitution, it says that the districts have to be contiguous. That means they have to touch. And a big number, a large number of the state Senate districts in the state and the state assembly districts are not contiguous. For instance, you may have, if you're a representative or senator, a chunk of votes, and then you have to go a couple of miles to the next part of your district because they gerrymandered it. I think, but I am not certain, but they'll know better in Dane County than I do, that the individual who represents Fitchburg has parts of his district that are not, I think it's Jimmy Anderson, has parts of his district that are not contiguous, so he has to go beyond his district to get to the rest of his district. That is forbidden under the Wisconsin Constitution. That's none of the U.S. Supreme Court's business. So in the first instance, what the judges said is the districts have to be contiguous, legislature, go ahead, redraft the maps with contiguous districts. Number two, the other issue they took up was the issue of separation of powers, executive, judicial, legislative. What the Republicans did, the sneaky thing they did when the Republican Supreme Court, Republican majority a couple of years ago, ruled that the maps, the rigged gerrymandered maps were okay, was by saying, first of all, that contiguous doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean touching. It means whatever the legislature says it means. Not only are they not literalists of interpreting the Constitution, they're not even honest about reading plain English. Contiguous means they have to touch, they have to be joined. The second thing they said was that the governor, in this case, Evers, does not get a shot at vetoing it or commenting on it, and the Supreme Court is the one that is the ultimate arbiter, and that carves out the executive, which is contrary to the Wisconsin Constitution. So when the Republicans bring this up on a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court, they've got to somehow show that there's a federal issue here. Well, there is no federal issue here. The only issue is the Wisconsin Constitution. So I think that even Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch are going to have a very hard time ginning up some fake theory to take it. And if they do take it, if four of them say go ahead and take it, the three Democrats, and I think Roberts, and either Amy Comey Barrett or Kavanaugh will gag, and they'll say, look, yes, we're tarantulas. We're one of the six tarantulas. Yes, we do everything we can to advance the Republican Party, but we got to do it smart. And this is a dumb thing to do, to say that we're going to find a federal issue in what's contiguous. So that's where you have it. Now, there's a very, very short timeline here. And the people that brought this suit had asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to handle other issues as well. But this Supreme Court is very, very smart. And they said, no, we're only going to take two issues. We're going to take the contiguity of the districts, and we're going to take separation of powers, limiting it to the Wisconsin Constitution. Now, they've given a very, very short period of time for the state legislature to come up with new maps. And let me tell you something. You'd think that that's going to take a lot of time. It's not going to take a lot of time. There are more maps floating out around there than you can shake a stick at, and there's tons of them that are contiguous. Every expert in the state has weighed in on this. Every expert. So they simply pick one. Now, you know that the Republican legislature, the caucus, rigged and gerrymandered is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know that. I know that. So they may make them, quote, contiguous, end quote, but still keep up the scam, still keep up the gerrymander. And everybody expects that. That will then go to Evers. Evers will veto it. They should have a conciliation conference, but they're not going to, in my judgment. I don't think Voss is going to sit down with Evers' chief of staff or somebody and try to hammer this thing out. If they are unable to agree on maps, after Evers has a chance to veto it, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will take jurisdiction, in my opinion, and issue their own maps. And they're going to be fair maps. They will retain experts. They can call them special masters. They can call them referees, umpires. They can call them anything they want. But there will be special masters who are experts in statistics, in political science, and their only job will be to make sure that there are 99 assembly districts and 33 state senate districts that are A, contiguous. And the other requirement in the Wisconsin Constitution is that they, as much as possible, keep communities together. Right now, Sheboygan and Greene counties are split seven ways from Sunday. This is an absolutely gerrymandered state. They're not contiguous, but even if they were, there's plenty of ways to keep splitting communities. Well, the idea is this. Look, once you have some fair people who are experts look at it and put these maps together, and they're contiguous and they keep communities of interest together, the theory is, and the fact is, that they will be much fairer than they are now. Now, are they going to result in Democratic majority? No, they're not. Are they going to result in, they might, but they probably won't. Are they going to result in Republican majorities? No, they're not. That's not what they're intended to do. Could they? It depends on the national trends. They could and they could not. But there's two things that you can be assured of. One is, it's going to be a lot closer than it is now. You're not going to have the Republicans have two-thirds of everything when they don't even get half of the vote statewide. And the second thing is that you're going to find is that you're going to have a much higher quality legislator in both parties. If you are running in a primary and it's a 51-49 district, I don't care if it's Democratic or Republican, you are going to attract a different quality of candidate, you know, a little sharper knife in the drawer, a little brighter bulb on the tree, and somebody who is going to appeal to, in effect, the center. It could be center right, it could be center left, but you're not going to have these bat feathers crazies that you have in the Republican caucus. And frankly, you know, you have a handful, certainly doing the U.S. Congress and the Democratic caucus. You're going to have people like they used to have. When I started out in politics, the 1970s and 1980s, who were statesmen and women. They will do what's best for the country. Right now, as a result of the Republicans, we have forever chemicals in our drinking water, and our state university system and public education keeps getting dragged down, keeps getting underfunded and attacked all the time. Our democracy is attacked, and you will avoid that with much better legislators. So that is the status of this so-called appeal, and bring it on. But this Wisconsin Supreme Court is really keeping their nose to the grindstone, and I'm very, very glad to see that. Coming up, you will not believe what post Donald Trump reposted and what words he is proud of. You will not believe it.
Liar, go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care.
His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll tell you something. Trump has posted some very strange things on Truth Social. Very strange things. He's gone on all kinds of, and he always does it kind of obliquely. I'm just reposting it, but he'll repost violent things. But this is one that to me shows what I frankly think, and I think a number of experts do think, is early onset argumentative dementia. His face, his demeanor, when he says things, have become much harsher, much more contentious. And here's an example. There was a poll that was taken, a respectable poll, that asked people an interesting question. They asked them, when you think of Donald Trump, Joe Biden, you know, mentioned a few politicians. Stream of consciousness, what is the first word that occurs to you? It can be descriptive, it can be anything it is. But as you were just sitting there at rest, eyes closed, and somebody mentions a name, the first word that pops into your mind. Well, here's what the poll said. And here are the top words that popped into different pieces. You know, you don't get to give a speech. You don't get to give a sentence. One word, what comes up? The word that came up most, and this is a fairly large poll, where that came up most was revenge. Believe it or not, revenge. Other words that came up were dictator, power, economy, and America. Now, the America is obviously his people. You know, you've seen them interviewed. They're all unbelievably strange, some of the things they say, because they've all been fed conspiracy theories and they believe them. But the first word was revenge, and then dictator, power, economy, America. Now, who in their right minds is proud of that? Who in the right mind would think of reposting that? It wasn't his poll. He reposted it and he boasted about it. To me, that is a middle school or high school disturbed kid doing something like that. He was proud of it. Proud of it. Remember when he compared himself to Al Capone? We talked about that a week or so ago. And he thought Al Capone was a very tough, bad guy. And if he didn't like you, the way you looked at him, he'd kill you. And he's been indicted more times than Al Capone. This kind of really odd boasting about grisly things, about things that most people, it wouldn't occur to him, wouldn't occur to them, wouldn't remotely occur to them to boast about. But that's what he did. And so he said, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. First things that everybody comes in their mind, it wasn't everybody, it was the plurality. That was the biggest one, was revenge. And then dictator, and then power. And then his supporters would put economy in America. But I'll tell you something. If I were disposed to support someone, and on my side, it would be the Democratic side, and he was boasting and reposting that there was a poll that associated him with pathology, with violence, and frankly, with chaos. I mean, I'd be out of that campaign so quick it'd make your head spin. But here's what he did. And then not only that, he put out a Christmas message. Now, you know, usually the Christmas message is very, very nice. It's very soft. Peace on earth. We desperately want peace on earth, goodwill towards men and women. We want people to love each other. This is a time for reflection. This is a time for the noblest sentiments in the human heart. So this is the front runner. This is the front runner for the Republican nomination for president. And the headline is, "May they rot in hell." Now, first of all, who even mentions hell on Christmas Day? On Christmas Day, who mentions it? Here's what he said. Here is his statement. Quote, "Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden's only hope, which is deranged Jack Smith, the out of control lunatic who hired attorneys fresh from the swamp to help him with his witch hunt against Trump. Included also are world leaders, both good and bad, but none of which are as evil and sick as the thugs we have inside of our own country. May they rot in hell. Again, Merry Christmas." End quote. Now, this is not only wrong, it's not only a bizarre Christmas message for a politician who's running for office, especially President of the United States, but it shows a sick mind. I mean, a truly sick mind. Even if you had a middle school or high school kid who was that way, I'd make sure there were no guns in the house, and I'd make sure that he had therapy. This is a sad thing. This is a very emotionally disturbed individual. And here's what it was again. "Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden's only hope, deranged Jack Smith, the out-of-control lunatic who hired attorneys fresh from the swamp to help him with his witch hunt against Trump. Included also are world leaders, both good and bad, but none of which are as evil and sick as the thugs we have inside of our own country. May they rot in hell. Again, Merry Christmas." Presumably talking about the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Yeah. He's disturbing at every level with me, but this thing Christmas, I mentioned it to Kurt yesterday. This one's way out of bounds. I mean, on Christmas Day, I just can't even fathom it. You know, Christians, true Christians in this country got to stand up and start saying something and wake up. And, you know, this is Jesus' word on Christmas. I thought it was love the stranger and the neighbor and, you know, all the good things about Christmas. And then he comes with this. And then, of course, he's their redemption. No, I would call him a false idol. He's not their savior. He only pretends to be their savior.
Right. Well, you don't even have to get overly theological about this. I mean, and it doesn't matter what religion you are. Generally, people like to calm down around now. They like to think of good things and loving people and peace. And, you know, I mean, there are Christmas trees all over and music, and retailers of every persuasion love Christmas because they get a big percentage of their sales. It's good for the economy. It's good theologically, in my opinion, but it's also good for mankind. And this guy, I think, has early onset dementia. Argumentative dementia. You occasionally see people like that who are argumentative and very, very nasty. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. Coming up, a lot of news, weather, and the Republican Party has found a way to injure our military getting around Tommy Tuberville. Do not go away. I'll get to you on the line.
¶¶ 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Immigration officials are struggling to keep up with asylum claims, says CBS's Christina Ruffini.
There's now a backlog of more than 3 million cases. These hearings are getting scheduled so far in advance. It's delaying decisions for legitimate, potentially vulnerable asylum seekers, as well as deportations for those who might not have a valid claim.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Mexico's president today to talk about immigration. It could take 2 to 3 weeks before downed trees and closed roads can be cleared in Fargo, North Dakota, after an ice storm. Scott Ludall is a city forester.
Anything that's really impeding the flow of traffic or the use of the sidewalk, or if somebody can't get out of their house or driveway, those are the calls that we're responding to as priority one.
Miami-Dade police say one person is dead, another is recovering after their helicopter crashed into a canal. Spokesman Alvaro Zabaleta.
According to investigators, the witnesses were stating that they saw what appeared to be a helicopter that was spinning and falling.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former U.S. Senator and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Kohl, has died. He was 88 years old. Kohl's death was announced Wednesday evening by the Herb Kohl Foundation. Kohl bought the Bucks in 1985 and was instrumental in keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. Kohl also represented Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate from 1988 until 2012, when he decided not to run for re-election. Android phone users in Wisconsin can expect some of a $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement with Google. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's assistant attorney general.
With antitrust and disinjunctive relief, the hope is that the markets will open up and there could be future competitors that enter the race.
About 100 million eligible customers in all 50 states will split the settlement. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds on the increase in the overnight, upper 20s by sunrise. There may be a little bit of light snow developing late tonight towards sunrise, and snow showers and some sprinkles and flurries for Thursday. Highs in the upper 30s. Right now, it's 28.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Match Glenn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Well, there's a lot on my mind, but not enough time to say it. I'll tell you something. the guy is sick, definitely. And, you know, he's like an evil virus, you know, that has infected, you know, our community, our democracy, our relationships with others, the political process. I mean, I can't even say even more of it, but there's more and more things coming out on him and different, you keep your eyes out, you know, because he's been this way his entire life. He starts out, you know, as a con man. He's like a used car, because used car salesmen are good, but, you know, I mean, how about a snake oil salesman? He loves that snake story, by the way. Every time he does it, I think, yeah, you're the snake, buddy. But anyway, he pretends that he's for the people. And he's a jokester, you know, and he knocked down every single candidate. If you can remember that, you know, how he knocked out Walker with his streets and roads. And he went after every one of those Republicans. And Republicans were cheering because they were ticked at those candidates anyway. And look what he's got running against him, the same ones that he's run down, and they kiss his feet, and people in America aren't going to trust them either because they just kowtow to him. But anyway, in honest to goodness, when I saw that, you know, my background's psych. So when I saw, you know, the Saturday Night Live, when people were getting Twitter tweets during the day, or they were eating and stuff like that, they'd get all excited. The president of the United States, oh, this is serious stuff. Because, you know, Twitter just came out. A lot of older people never got tweets, and other people either. So, wow, a president of the United States tweeted me, you know, and seriously. So people are getting this, you know. So they feel, and remember, this is new, and it's even newer to people, you know, middle-aged and a little right. older. You know what I mean? That's a big deal. How many presidents tweet right. people? And then when he uses, these people are against you, I'm the only one that can save you. You know, and right. then with his health care claim, he was going to get those people the best health care he could. And then he celebrates on the lawn that they were going to get rid of health care.
Right.
You know,
right,
he had right, passed right. it. And he had nothing to put in place. So he's a good salesman, and he knows what he's doing. But when his techniques aren't working or the truth is coming out, then he uses the anger stuff and the chaos
right.
to get those people and knock them down and shut them up. So anyway, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thank you. I love your passion, Gene, and that's what he did this time. It's closing in on him. He knows that he's in trouble, and that's how he reacts. And you don't want him doing that in foreign policy. If he ever got back into office, I mean, start a war by accident. Going back to the lines, John of Boaz. Thanks for calling. John, what's in your mind today?
Hi, this is your lucky day, Matt, because I just sent you to your media station address in Waukesha. Attention, Matt Flynn, direct. World Trade Center projects form. Like I said last time, you tell me if this terrorist smoke is real or pretend, because it's 36 years before it really happened.
Right, right. Well, John, here's the deal. I'll look at it. I always appreciate callers' emails to the firm. I will tell you, however, that I'm a rationalist, and I don't think that a guy, frankly, in 1965 could have predicted anything that was going to happen in 2001. Now, you know, it can be that in a drawing, there may be some indication on it or something that was totally without knowledge of what was going to happen afterwards. I mean, that kind of thing. But John, I always appreciate your calls. Thank you very much. Well, here's the deal. Tommy Tuberville blocked appointments initially for flag officers and then for basically all officers, over 400 of them, senior officers, for 10 months. Started in February, and he finally was bullied into lifting them in December this month. But he kept 11 of them, the 4 stars, and he was bullied into backing down on that. And everybody went, great, oh, that's terrific, you know, and the Republican Party must have been a mistake. You must understand something. The Republican Party is doing everything in its power to injure and demoralize many areas of our government, including the military, putting lives at risk, all because they want to give the perception of chaos under Joe Biden so they can sneak back into power and continue their dirty work. And let me give you an example. You thought that, oh, okay, now we have admirals and generals. Yeah, we have admirals and generals. They have continued their blocks. They continued them for something like 40 Department of Defense officials. And there are three right now that they just sent back to the White House. Not going to confirm them. And the custom then is December 31st comes, which is New Year's Eve, which is Sunday. Then the White House is going to have to reappoint them. They have to go through a committee. They have to, it takes a long time. And here are the facts on them. There's somebody named Robert Cohane, K-E-O-H-A-N-E, Melissa Dalton, and Derek Chollet, C-H-O-L-L-E-T. Well, let me tell you who's blocking them and why. It's not Tuberville anymore, or Cruz, or Rand Paul. Rand Paul blocked ambassadors, hurt us. We had no ambassador in Niger when there was an Islamic takeover. They drove out the friendly president at the time, friend of the West, and now they have an Islamic resolution in Niger because we had no ambassador there because of Rand Paul. Cruz also blocked things, and of course, Tuberville did the same. But the Department of Defense, it's not as apparent to the average person. So here's the deal. There's a guy named Derek Chollet, C-H-O-L-L-E-T. He's been nominated to be the Pentagon policy chief. He's top notch. He'd be a senior guy in the Defense Department under Lloyd Austin. There is a fellow named Ronald Cohane, Assistant Secretary for Manpower, and a woman named Melissa Dalton, Under Secretary of the Air Force. She's nominated for the number two, right under the Secretary of the Air Force. Now, and there are many others. And here's how they divvied it up in the parking lot. Joni Ernst has said she's going to block Derek Chollet because she says she will make his life miserable. And I want to give you her exact quotation. And she's a veteran. I don't know what she did in the military, but she's a veteran. And here's what she said, quote, "Unless Derek Chollet comes and says he'll do something about the abortion policy, I'll do everything I can to kill him. We will make his life unbearable." She doesn't know him. He's a good guy. More importantly, he was going to be one of the high-up people in the Defense Department, which we need. And the abortion policy, that business that if you are in the military and you're stationed in a state where abortion is outlawed, even to save the life of the mother, like Oklahoma and Idaho, and there are bases in Oklahoma and Idaho, you can travel to some other state. You can be relieved of your duties momentarily to go for health care. Let's say you have to have your life saved. That seems pretty basic to me, to another state. She doesn't want that anymore, and she will hold up that nomination. There's a guy named Senator Ted Budd of North Carolina. He put a hold on Ronald Cohane because of the abortion issue. Cohane is very highly regarded. He was approved by the Armed Services Committee in March, just waiting for appointment. But no, Ted Budd, who's much less well known than Tuberville, says, no, you can't even vote on him. You can't do anything about him. Then there's a real piece of work named Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, and he's blocking Dalton, number two in the Air Force, over a really weird one. He claims he did not get information in a sufficient amount of time when he asked for information on unused border wall supplies being sold. And you go, what? Well, the point is that Trump bought up supplies to build a much longer border wall than is needed. And by the way, there's a very long border wall. There's border walls right near San Diego, Tijuana. I mean, if you didn't have a border wall, especially when they're adjacent towns, people walk right in. Nobody disputes a border wall. Democrats and Republicans have built that. What Trump was talking about was something like a 1,700-mile border wall out in areas where people don't try to cross, very difficult to cross, and we have patrol agents around there. But when he bought supplies and they weren't used, the government decided to sell them. And I would think the Republicans would like that, because that's just prudent business. And Wicker is not saying, I didn't get the information, I didn't get it timely, therefore Melissa Dalton should not be Undersecretary of the Air Force. Here's what they're really doing. You may think, and especially people who have not served in the military, that, okay, you have an admiral or general, and then you have two stars, three stars, two stars, you have colonels and captains, and everything's hunky-dory. Well, everything isn't hunky-dory. Our troops, sailors, Marines, soldiers, airmen, are in harm's way, and they need civilian expertise and intelligence to protect them, to guide their mission. Because remember something, we are one of the few militaries in the world where civilians run the country and run the military. In Asia, Africa, in South America, in some cases, that's not necessarily the case. We had an attack in Iraq over the weekend on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, that wounded three Americans. One of them is in critical condition. The response so far has been to then bomb about three sites that launch these missiles. And we're going to talk later in the show about what should be done with Iran, which is behind them. The USS Kearney in the Red Sea was fired on by drones and managed to swat them all down. But one day they're not all going to be swatted down, and some missile is going to hit and kill some sailors. The Department of Defense officials, in charge of various parts of the Department of Defense under Lloyd Austin, he can't do it all by himself, provide essential intelligence and essential direction. For instance, the USS Kearney, maybe we need a few more destroyers in the Red Sea, or maybe we will withdraw our destroyer in the Red Sea, put in other kinds of ships that have different missiles, all of that kind of stuff. The admiral doesn't get to decide that. Generals don't get to decide that. The Republicans are deliberately crippling the intelligence and the support in the civilian government that's needed to preserve the lives of our sailors, Marines, airmen, and soldiers. It's as simple as that. And you would think, well, that's not possible. I saw Joni Ernst at a pig roast. She was so warm. Such a nice person. She wouldn't do something like that. Well, open your ears. Why don't you read a newspaper for a change? She has said that she will block Derek Chollet, head of policy, who under him has people who should be doing the things that I've talked about. And she said, quote, unless he comes and says he'll do something about abortion, I'll do everything I can to kill him. We will make his life unbearable. That's not a senator talking. That's a thug talking. What she's trying to do is suck up to Trump and his people and hurt Joe Biden. Why is she in the Senate? Why is she in Iowa, in the Senate? What's the matter with Iowa? If anybody from Iowa is listening, I'm telling you that. Talk to her. And Mississippi, Roger Wicker, he didn't get material sales in time, so he's blocking the Undersecretary of the Air Force. This is what they're doing. Open your eyes. This is what they're doing. This has got to stop. Coming up, we're going to talk about that attack by Iran and some of the things that should be done. Coming right back.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. So I alluded to it earlier in the last segment. We have bases and we have ships that are exposed in the Middle East. The Red Sea right now, Yemen is right on the Red Sea, and the Houthis, who are backed by Iran, keep firing drones at our ships that are in the Red Sea. It's international waters. And a commercial shipping. So several of the major commercial shippers in the world, when they're trying to ship from Asia to Europe, the easiest thing to do is come up through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean. It cuts off thousands of miles, but now what they're doing is they're saying, we're going to go down around southern tip of Africa and come up. It adds thousands of miles and a lot of expense. And remember, they're been piracy off the east coast of Africa before. We put an end to that. The question here is, you have the Houthis who are rebellion against the Yemeni government. They also launched missile strikes into Saudi Arabia. The Houthis basically are Shiite and they're aligned with Iran. And of course, Saudi Arabia and the rest of them over there largely are Sunni. So in the middle of this, in Iraq, we have bases. We have one base that is 900. It's a very, very small contingent, 900 troops, another one, 2,000. If they wanted to in Iran, they could easily overrun either one. We have two adversaries. One is Iran over there, and the other one is the Republican Party over here. The Republican Party stuck a knife in military promotions for 10 months. Now they're sticking a knife into civilian appointments at all. And they're making up excuses. One will say, well, I don't think that the Pentagon should let a woman soldier who's pregnant in, say, Oklahoma or Idaho, where you can't get an abortion even to save your life, travel, keep her on duty, put her on sentry duty. That's what they're saying. Don't let her go somewhere else. That's what they're saying. Or we will jeopardize the fleet in the Red Sea. That's Joni Ernst. Now, what's even worse, or I shouldn't say worse, but I can foresee it, is that suddenly there's a ground attack in Iraq on one of our bases with 900 people, an outpost. What do we do when we have a Republican Party who won't provide, who won't appoint, confirm the appointments of people who are supposed to be part of the Defense Department that advises and protects our troops over there? There's another base, I think it has about 2,000 people. Ultimately, here's the question, and this is not something that's normally talked about on talk radio. Iran is the remnant of the Persian Empire. And you've read about the Persian Empire when you were in school. Persian Empire goes back thousands of years, and it's been a thorn in civilization's side for a long time. You know, with the Greeks, with everyone else, very violent, and not much to show for what they do. Now they're shrunk down into Iran. In Iran, on the eastern part over near Afghanistan, they have a Shiite minority. I think they're called the Baluchs. And they think they should have a new country called Baluchistan. And just a week ago, they came into Tehran and they killed 11 people in a police station and they were killed. Iran is a cauldron of hate. Their mobs will get together in the street shouting death to America. They have a Holocaust ridicule day where once a year they publish cartoons and make fun of the Holocaust. Their national purpose is hate. Now, what do you do about that? They're also developing a nuclear weapon. Now, right now, the word in the last day or so is that they've really increased their uranium processing, and they are much closer to nuclear weapon. Now, then you have to figure out a way to put it on a missile and launch the missile. There's no doubt that that missile will be launched against Israel and against Europe, probably against Italy because it's closest, but possibly against France or Germany. And what do we do? What do we do? Right now, there is one bomb among people who culturally were out to get us. That'd be Pakistan. And we've resolved that in two ways. One way is we give them several billion a year. We sustain that country. And they know if they pull anything, that gets yanked. Number two, India hates Pakistan and they have a nuclear weapon. China hates India and they have a nuclear weapon, and they're right next to Pakistan. So you have three people in kind of a triangle of hate with nuclear weapons. Is that great? No, it's not great. It'd be nice if none of them had nuclear weapons, but they do, and we're keeping an eye on them all the time. So at some point, in my judgment, we are going to have to take action against Iran. You cannot simply not have their proxies launch missiles at our troops, and one of them's in critical condition, and we respond to their proxies, okay? Number two, if they ever do develop the nuclear weapon, I'm sure we're monitoring it. And one of the odd things about that is crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, remember one of the things he's accused of doing was disclosing to people who had no security clearance a secret plan for attacking Iran. Now, that's highly confidential. He shouldn't have done it. We're not imminently going to do it. I don't advocate it. Nobody wants to do it. But you have to have a readiness when you have these kinds of rogue actors. And I'm very concerned that we have these two bases in Iraq, in particular, 900 and about 2,000, who are very exposed. We have single destroyers here and there. And Iran could easily hit one of them. Up until now, they know what Joe Biden would do to them. But what do you do? And I'll tell you one thing you don't do is have one of the political parties in this country stab us in the back. That's what you don't do. You confirm flag officer appointments. You confirm senior officer appointments. You confirm Department of Defense appointments, and you get rid of unanimous consent in the filibuster for military and Department of Defense appointments. And I'll tell you what, the buttercups in the Democratic Party, who went to a lot of effort to squeeze out Al Franken, had better get on the stick and just say, we are not going to have unanimous consent, just like we don't for Supreme Court justices and cabinet appointments, which the Republicans advocated. That is what we've got to do. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and in my judgment, truly shocking instance of racism in our high schools here in Wisconsin.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.